This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, September 12th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Compost bill passes. Cap and trade deal inked. Groundwater bill grounded and funding emergency aid. Ag-backed compost bill heads to Newsom. The legislature unanimously approved SB 279 to expand on-farm composting. Senator Jerry McNary filed the bill in response to a critical gap created by the ban on open ag burning. Without enough commercial composting facilities, growers have been left with few alternatives for disposing of large amounts of green waste. The bill allows growers to compost agricultural byproducts on site, increases the capacity threshold for community composters, and raises the limit for selling or distributing compost. Michael Miller, the Director of Government Relations at the California Association of Wine Grape Growers, cheered the news. Miller said the bill would make it easier for growers to compost vines removed due to the wine industry's historic challenges. He emphasized that it also benefits soil health, carbon sequestration, and the climate fight. Roger Isom, president and CEO of Western Tree Nut Association, added it could help agriculture begin to answer the major dilemma it faces with the closure of so many biomass plants. He lamented that, quote, it may be the only solution for smaller growers. Last-minute cap-and-trade deal inked. California lawmakers and Governor Gavin Newsom have reached a deal to extend the cap-and-trade program through 2045 as a part of a larger energy and affordability package. The measure adjusts the state's carbon pricing system by tightening oversight of offsets and altering how free allowances are distributed to major emitters. The package earmarks at least $2 billion a year beginning in 2026 for major projects, including $1 billion annually for high-speed rail and another $1 billion for legislative budget priorities, with continuing investments in housing, transit, wildfire prevention, clean air, and drinking water. It also directs climate credits on utility bills to appear during higher cost months to soften impacts on consumers. Environmental justice advocates contend the deal still leaves frontline communities exposed to local pollution, while some businesses and labor groups warn of higher costs or job risk from new provisions. The California Chamber of Commerce backs the reforms to the regional energy market in a separate bill. The group called it a step toward an affordable, reliable, and clean energy future, estimating that such a regional market promises more than $1 billion annually in savings for households and businesses. Groundwater bill stalls. The latest measure pitching reforms to California's groundwater education process is dead for the year. AB 1413 would require court judgments to not exceed sustainable yields as defined in groundwater plans under SGMA. Supporters argue the bill would prevent legal challenges that undermine the implementation of groundwater laws. Opponents are concerned it would limit judicial oversight and the ability of water right holders to challenge groundwater plans. The bill is likely to return in January when the legislature starts the second half of its two-year session. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Tariffs likely won't work for farm aid, Thompson says. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson stepping back from saying that tariff revenue could be used for emergency farm aid. He also thinks the final price tag for the aid, however it's funded, could be north of $20 billion. Thompson told AgriPulse last week he wanted to use tariff revenue to fund the aid package. But he told reporters yesterday it now didn't appear that would be legally possible. He said, quote, "We're just looking at the statutes surrounding it, and it's just hard to do. It's also possible that USDA could use its Commodity Credit Corporation spending authority to make farm payments. That's what the first Trump administration did to compensate growers for the impact of the trade war with China in 2018 and 19. Thompson acknowledged that the CCC account would first have to be replenished by Congress, and it's not clear when that would happen. He said, it's pretty well spent down. As for the cost, House Ag member Rick Crawford of Arkansas told AgriPulse he believes as much as $20 billion in emergency aid would be needed. I wouldn't doubt it, Thompson said when asked about the $20 billion figure. Grocery Group blames input costs and market uncertainties for inflation. A group representing the nation's largest supermarket chain says an uptick in food inflation last month, likely due to significant production cost increases in July. Food price inflation continues to experience challenges driven by input costs and market uncertainties, according to Andy Herring, Vice President of Tax, Trade, Sustainability, and Policy Development for FMI, the Food Industry Association. The Consumer Price Index for food eaten at home jumped 0.6% in August, driven in part by higher prices for produce and strengthening beef prices. Looking ahead, Herring says tariff exemptions for some imports could help to control inflation. Those exemptions would be limited to products that U.S. farmers can't produce, so it certainly won't help with beef. Marshall welcomes MAHA strategy as a first step. A leading congressional ally, the Make America Healthy Again movement, Senator Roger Marshall, says the MAHA Commission report released this week is, quote, an incredible first step toward promoting regenerative agriculture practices. Speaking on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, the Kansas Republican says, quote, you know, what I believed is that healthy soil is where agriculture meets MAHA, that if we have healthy soil, it's going to lead to healthy, nutrient-rich food. The report steered clear of criticizing specific pesticides and instead encouraged research at funding for conservation practices and precision agriculture. By the way, Marshall also talks about President Trump's nominee for Surgeon General, Casey Means, a leading MAHA figure and a harsh critic of pesticides and seed oils. Marshall said the jury's still out on Means. He said he hasn't met with her yet, but he said he's read several of her books and encourages others to do so. Newsmakers to be available today at AgriPulse.com. Here's today's final word. Farm safety net only works as well as those administering it. If we keep holding back USDA's ability to move forward and implement these programs, it's going to have an effect. That's Mike Stranz of the National Farmers Union on this week's edition of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, September 12th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Alley.